This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Part of the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. It's Cousin Sal. It's Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds at D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's shaking, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we made it to February, which means, guys, only 7 more months until kickoff. I swear that's how I'm looking at it now. I'm already so depressed. Brian, I don't know. How could it get worse every year, football ending? I mean, it's the same for my team, your team. It's the same script.
It's
Darren, you're two.
It's depressing.
Harry's going to change a team, so it doesn't matter.
It's depressing. But look, you have to see what my house looks like. Like, I need to spend a couple weekends just cleaning shit up. It's just, I need to do some other stuff for a couple weekends. But look,
okay.
And look, we really.
So you're saying I should have made a mess in this office throughout the year, and then I could have said
we got to figure out. We got to figure out something what to do during February. Once we get to March, we'll be okay, because you know all that basketball, college basketball, and then we have. We got that great wedding coming up, and then
we got a big wedding. Big wedding. Harry is getting married again. Harry, you and I should be looking for this to end, right? You're 2-10, I'm 1-11, but I don't know. Are you as depressed as I am about football going away?
It's always still great, right? Always still great. We always want it around, no matter what. And it'll be a little rough over the summer, and we'll get through it, and then we'll have it again.
The summer. To hell with the summer, parlay kid. All right. Well, there is still some football news here. Seattle, the Seahawks hired Mike McDonald. That's the rhythm of you don't know me, but I'm your brother. That's the Mike McDonald. That's who they
went
with.
That's good.
My God. Thank you. No, the Ravens defensive coordinator. Parlay kid, how old is this guy? 36?
36. Yeah, 36.
So they went, I mean, he was half of Pete Carroll's age. What a switch, huh?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. You know, these guys, he didn't do so bad. The Ravens defense, a lot of times with these coordinators that are still in the playoffs, when they lose, they go out on a low note and they're rewarded by getting one of the very few head jobs in football. It's a strange thing, right? So like, who's the Cardinals coach? Steichen? Is the Cardinals head coach? Who is it?
Yeah, from the Eagles.
Gannon's a defensive coordinator, right? He was a defensive coordinator. Gannon's a defensive coordinator. The Eagles were awful. Couldn't have had a worse defensive showing in the second half out of anyone in the Super Bowl. And they're like, yeah, here you go. You're going to coach the Cardinals. Maybe that's not a promotion after all. But anyway, we got that. I don't know, Paulie Kid, good move here for the Ravens or for Seattle?
Yeah, why not? I'm su- like once again, I mean, Dan Quinn is, I guess, going to make it through another off season of not getting hired, which it wouldn't surprise me after the debacle. But yeah, again, look, this is a guy. Geez, if you let him coach for as long as Pete Carroll, maybe he'll be in Seattle for about the next 36 years. So
yeah, no kidding.
He might be there for a long, yeah, but it's good. Get a good young guy in there. I think that's the trend, right? These young coaches have a lot of them have proven themselves to be worthy of the task. So good hire by Seattle. Going to be a good fit.
So now that leaves just Washington, right? And I'm thinking they should hire Mike McCarthy. No, I don't know what they... So I'm trying to think who's left. Vrabel, also be weird if Vrabel sat the year, right, Harry? I mean, you would think, I thought he was going to get one of these last three jobs for sure, especially after Ben Johnson backed out.
No, right, exactly. But I'm thinking, Sal, for Washington, I mean, who else are you going to, besides Vrabel, who else can you get at this point? I mean, why not throw Belichick a bone? Let's see what you can do away from New England. At least, you know, he can... he would probably sell tickets. It'd be some anticipation in the beginning of the season, some hype, some happiness about the fans for the Commanders to start the season. I know it doesn't sound great because they don't do anything any ever, but still, who knows when you give a team a chance and a coach like this, look what they did in Houston this past year. After 1 year winning three games, they made it to the playoffs, won their division. So it could turn that quickly. And let's just give Belichick, not saying it's going to turn that quickly in the NFC East, but why not give Belichick a 2-year contract? Because you're going to stink anyways. Give it a shot.
Well, first of all, they didn't interview him, right, Bri? Did they interview Belichick interview? Yeah. I don't know why he would want to go there. I don't know why they would want him. Like it's first of all, he's going against two giants in the Eagles, and not the Giants, but in the Eagles and the Cowboys.
I thought you were going to say McCarthy.
Well, yes, he's a giant. No matter how you crack it, he's a giant. He doesn't want that job, Harry. He doesn't have a quarterback, and he's got the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Before, about a week and a half ago, he was considered for that job. About 2 weeks ago, he was considered.
I don't know why he would want that. I don't know. No quarterback there. Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with Harry in terms of like if you're Washington, you do kind of have to do something to make a splash. And they haven't even interviewed Vrabel. Like I don't know what they're doing. I think they said out of like the four or five guys left, like Dan Quinn's one of them. But when you look at the list, I mean, you just spent $6 billion on the Commanders. I mean, you kind of have to think about Belichick. I mean, at least I think that would be fun. I think that would be fun if he was in the NFC, but it's not going to happen. But I think they should think about it for sure.
Consider who they draft. They're drafting Brian and guys that has been awful the past couple of years. Chase Young lasted, 2 years in that play, in that organization? Then they got rid of him. They just don't draft. They haven't drafted great either. So
also bring in Belichick. Yeah, well, look at that roster.
Yeah, I don't think it's about them not wanting those coaches. I think it's those coaches not wanting them.
Yeah, man, that's very possible.
Really,
yeah.
In the long run. This is the type of job for a young guy to take. Right. The Washington job is that.
Yeah,
type
it's not
of job.
Happening in the next 2 years. That's for sure. In Atlanta, it might have happened. You get a division win, whatever. Get lucky with a quarterback. Something could go on. I know the last, the first, and the NFC East is weird with that, but it all does seem like a practical joke on Eric Bieniemy, right? I mean, how many coaches have to get passed over, drop out of the race, and everything else? And he's right there in Washington as an OC. Okay, he didn't light the world on fire with that offense, but. He's like, what in the hell? Where do I have to be? What's right place, right time for me? Poor Eric Bieniemy. I don't know. Maybe they interview him. Would they interview him? Would that be something else, Bri, if they interviewed the offensive coordinator? He had to sit through like a 20-hour thing. He's like, I have a house like 8 minutes away. Can't you just give me the job? All right, let's check in on this Super Bowl. The line is still 1.5. It's still 47.5. Listen, it's not going to go... If you're thinking it's going to go to 3 either way, I think you're nuts. I don't think it's moving. Not going to San Francisco -3. Certainly not going to Kansas City -3. So get in there. So it's weird to be an undecided at this point. But let's play a game here. There's only been six Super Bowls where the line has been 2 or fewer. Harry, you want to go first? You want to guess any of them where the line was 2 or fewer? I'll give you a hint. Two were, well, I don't want to give you a hint. No, go ahead.
I'll say Seattle, Denver.
Seattle, Denver. I think you're right. Yes, Denver was minus two. Good job. Good job by you. 43-8 Seattle. That didn't add up. All right. Parlay Kid or Bri, you want to throw one out?
Yeah.
Bunch of two and a halfs, bunch of threes, obviously.
I'll say, how about Raiders, Tampa Bay?
Raiders, Tampa Bay. Well, no, Raiders were a few there. Yeah, Raiders were four.
Yeah, Raiders right. just choked.
Okay.
Raiders just choked. Tampa.
Sorry, Brian. Now you're not, now you're distracted. You can't figure it out.
I know. I'm just trying to think of games. Is it within the last 20 years? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah.
Well, I was, what was the, I can't remember because I lost so much money on this, the Seahawks, right. the Seahawks Patriots.
Seahawks Patriots was at least three, I think. I think it was exactly three.
Did it end up that high?
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. Seattle minus one. Good job. Yeah. Only I was the idiot had it by three. Didn't matter.
Well, I've told you that story before in that Seattle game. I had so much money on Seattle when they lost. The next day I had strep throat, but I swear my immune system was just gone from
the game.
Just from losing that much money.
Or from football ending. That's the thing. I'm so numb. I don't know if it's the money or the football ending. What they're not making a big deal out of, which I'm surprised, is Kansas City just in the last 5 years has been part of two games that the spread was two or less. The Eagles were minus two. Yeah, Eagles were minus two last year. And KC was 1.5 over San Francisco. In 2020.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then, so let me think. So, Darren, you said Seattle minus one. That was right. Which one are we missing now? Okay.
Maybe another one.
You knew another one? Go ahead.
Hey, is it the game that was Dallas, Pittsburgh in Tempe?
No way. What?
Yeah.
No, they were at least,
Neil O'Donnell?
Well, that was 13.5 point favorite.
The NFC was like Harry, crushing team.
What are you talking AFC, about?
Right?
Dallas, Pittsburgh, and the last one they made. Wow, Harry may have to leave.
Dallas, Pittsburgh, in us in the 78-79 Super Bowl.
All right, but let's just. I mean, Harry was just 12 points off on a guess the line that played like 30 years ago. That's So Miami. Washington in 73, Miami was minus one.
Oh, that was only 40 years ago.
They won 14-7. All right. Well, I didn't ask you to guess that. 49ers beat Cincinnati in 82. They were a 1-point favorite. Isn't that something? You would have thought they would be with Montana. What was that? Kenny Anderson, Montana in San Francisco was 1-point favorite. And that might be it. That might be it for the twos. Obviously, lots of threes in there. Yeah, that stretch there were... Paulie Kid, there were five double-digit favorites in a row between the second Dallas Buffalo and Green Bay Denver when Green Bay lost to Denver. Anyway, all right. So that's you could tell. This is what happens when we have an extra week off, 2 weeks off between the Super Bowl. We have to kill time. But we are going to whet your appetite here. We're going to give one Super Bowl prop pick. Parlay Kid, start us off. I really like this one.
Yes, I. There's still so many. There's already so many out there, right? With these props, picks, and stuff. It's like I can't even imagine what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
In a week from now, it's going to be overwhelming for everybody. Yeah, but so I like the Chiefs to have a fourth down conversion at minus 102. Now you could also go get the 49ers at plus 104 to have a fourth down conversion. In a league now where we're just seeing fourth down conversions every single week, I can't see this not hitting. The Chiefs have converted a fourth down in five out of their last six. And I think the only time they didn't was in a game where it was a decided blowout at some point late in the season. So I think this is really good value. Something fun to root for. It could happen at any time in the game, which I think part of betting some of these props for the Super Bowl, I think it's important to have something that you could hit at any point of the game
to keep
the game interesting, no matter what is happening. And let's face it, I mean, most likely a trailing team, especially is going to go for in fourth down. I mean, who went for it on fourth down the other day? Was it the Ravens? They were like on their own 30-yard line, and they went for it on fourth down early in the game. So
yeah,
it's a different time
even,
now.
I'm not sure. Mikey Meatballs, look this up. I think even Detroit went for it on fourth down.
I think. Right. Well, we know that. It's Sal, it's almost like what game doesn't each team have at least one fourth down?
Well, especially now.
Conversion.
Especially
at least now. Attempt. At least attempt. And let's face it, these teams are both super equipped to convert on fourth down, right? They're super equipped. I mean, this isn't like, you know, between McCaffrey, Pacheco, whatever. They're super equipped to get it done.
I like it a lot.
Love it.
I like it a lot. It. All right, Harry, hit us with one.
All right, how about this? Travis Kelce, 70 yards or more receiving at minus 120. Kelce is clutch, but especially come playoff time, guys, we know this. He had 11 catches on 11 targets versus Baltimore for 116. He's also went for 70 or more yards in Kansas City's win against Buffalo and Miami in the playoffs. And in fact, he's recorded 70 or more yards receiving in his last 12 playoff appearances, guys. And Kelce has 95 or more yards in more than half his playoff games played. Just needing 70 yards at minus 120 seems like a steal for a guy who shows up in big spots all the time.
All right. That's a good one. I like that. It is tough to bet his unders in these. I had him under like 94.5 or something. I don't know what it was against when it was Tampa Bay. And he had nothing in the first half. And it was a different game because they just had to play from behind and they smoked that number. He went way over. So it's tough to bet that under for Kelce for sure, especially when the game's fixed for him and Taylor Swift. It's really weird. All right, Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, I like his receptions too. Now, look, I will say, FanDuel, please by next week, Sal, you know how much I love the under shortest touchdown of 1.5
yards. It's on there, Brian.
Is it?
Is it there? Yeah.
Why can't I see it?
I saw it somewhere today. Don't ask me to look for it now. Right. It's in there, though.
All right.
It was in there.
All right. Well,
it's in there.
All right. Well, we know that'll definitely be one of my picks here. I was just saying, I didn't see it.
Brian, so you're talking. They had it. You're giving yours, Brian. I'll look it.
I think they had it the other day, honestly.
I mean, in New York, it's possible. I couldn't see it. It's possible. But I'm going to go with Pacheco over 67.5 rushing yards. Minus 110. Look, right now, the 49ers have a little bit of a problem on the defensive side of the ball, right? So far in the playoffs, Aaron Jones went for 108 yards on 18 carries. Montgomery went for 93 yards. And then Gibbs and Montgomery combined went for 137. Now, Pacheco had a tough second half against the Ravens, but still had 68 yards. That was on 28 carries. I know they were kind of running the ball out there. But he has rushed for at least 89 yards in four of his last five games before that. I think the Chiefs line will be able to expose some holes there against the 49ers like we've seen so far here in the playoffs. So I like Pacheco over 67.5.
All right. That's a good one. I think I had him under 14.5 carries. Did we do that on winning weekend? And he had 15.5. So, he's their workhorse. They figure it out for him. All right. Do you ever look at a bet and you're like, all right, I'm going to pick one side. Then I'm going to do the research to support it. And then the research is so lopsided that you can't even be like, well, it's due to go the other way. I wanted any player to score two or more touchdowns. The no was plus 135. And there's no way I'm taking the no. I'm going yes, minus 150. If you look at the history, in the last, what was it? Six of the last seven. Guys have scored two or more touchdowns. Hurts, Kupp, Gronk, Damian Williams, and KC San Francisco. Gronk again. James White, six. And that's, I could go back and forth. Like the only one that didn't was that bad Rams Patriots game where there was like no score. I think it was one touchdown. But the yes for two touchdowns. And then you look at these, this one might be one of my favorites without looking too many, but there's so many guys who score in bunches on these teams, right? Like, Kittle has games where he has three touchdowns. Samuel, McCaffrey, of course, has probably double-digit multiple touchdown games. I'm not even on the Chiefs side yet. So, right, Pacheco could throw it, get in there a couple times. Obviously, Kelce. So let's go minus 150 again. No bargain on the VIG because it's shown that, my God, it happens over and over and over. All right, there you go. We're loosened up, right? Feel like, Brian, you feel like you stretched your back? You did one out of like 100? One on winning weekend. We'll each get one, and then we'll do $100,000 to $150,000 next week on the podcast.
Well, you know, what I hate about this time with the Super Bowl is like you have 2 weeks, and I don't know if you feel like this, Sal. For as many, there's thousands of bets, right? I feel like every day I just keep relooking at them, right? Because there's more, right? The lines change, or like every because I don't put them in right away. I'm like, I'm waiting, but oh my God, I must look at between the, you know, like 10 to 14 days, probably like 20 something thousand bets. I feel
it's like. Kind of like a final exam. Like I just make it Sunday. I don't need 2 weeks for this. I'm going to over-prepare and we all know what happens.
Right. Right.
Analysis leads to paralysis, as they say. On winning weekend, Cousin Sal's winning weekend, which airs on FanDuel TV on Fridays, you're going to see the four of us go over the squares. That's the other thing, Harry, that they have the football squares, the Super Bowl squares. That's what the, you know, people who don't really like to gamble do this. Well, now you could have your number. You could have your double zeros. You could have your 7-0. You could have your 3-0. Right, Harry? This is a way to do it.
Those double zeros, Sal.
What's
that? The double zeros to start.
That's what you like?
Yeah.
All right, let's give them a taste of the double zeros. Hold on. Double zero first quarter plus 280.
Double zero plus 280.
No, now you don't like it? Double zero for game, 39 plus 3,900.
Well, they also,
you got this figured out, you think?
You can also bet it for every quarter in one bet. So they have like each individual quarter and then also for all the quarters.
Like that.
That's great.
Like you would get in a real pool.
That's great. All right. We're going to go more in depth. We're going to spend probably three or four hours on this.
All I'm betting on for the Super Bowl, I'm betting
just
squares.
The squares? Your square. That would make sense. All right. Let's take a break. We got some basketball picks to give you. One of them I'll be at one of these games. And then we'll have Shark Tank, and that'll be it. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
All right. So our Thursday NBA college picks. Parley Kid, let's start with you. You weren't so lucky betting on the Knicks game last Thursday, but you like the over-under here, the total on Knicks Pacers for Thursday.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I know Harry's been, and rightfully so, been on a lot of the Pacers overs this year because a lot of the games are track meets. But I'm going to be taking the under 241.5 in this game with the Knicks. Over the last 10 games, and especially really since the Knicks made that big trade, their defense has been not just one of the top defenses in the NBA this year, the top over the last month or so of the season, but one of the top defenses that we've seen over the last decade in the NBA. An NBA team that plays defense? You got to be kidding me, Sal. Well, the Knicks do it. They do it. And now without Julius Randle, they have to grind it out a little bit more than Knicks. So they're playing maybe themselves playing a little bit of a slower tempo game. And along with Halliburton being out for the Pacers, I don't think they can play that fast-paced game. Now, Halliburton could be back. We know the situation that he's going through, and I'm suffering along with him because I have him too to be the assist leader in the league this year.
Right.
I think that does that fall under that minimum games too?
I think it does.
And I do have him to lead the league in assists, so I am feeling that the strain of that as well. But I just think 241 for this game is still, I think, a pretty high for a Knicks defense that's been giving up about 100 points a game over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And the Knicks just right now without Julius, I don't see them lighting the scoreboard up themselves for 130 points in this game. So I like this. I'll take it. And, okay. You know, it'd be good to see Obi back in the garden for the right. Pacers. So, you know, Obi will be determined.
Yeah.
But it's going to be. So put some money on Obi, though, to go over his point total.
All right.
I could totally see that happening.
All right. Obi over 3.5. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. No. Let's talk. Brian, I might be wrong about that 65 threshold for the assists. It might be 55. Is it 55?
Right. It's not. I don't think it's. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's the same in terms of winning an award, right? You have to have a certain amount to be considered, though. It's like,
hey, what's that?
It's
about?
Like that's with the batting average title or right? Like, in
I thought it was MLB, 55. It might be 50, but I don't think it's not quite 65. That's as long as you brought him up, Paul, I like Tyrese Halliburton. I really do. I like his game and everything. But for him to come out and say this 65 threshold is a stupid rule, first of all, he could lose out apparently on $40 million in like incentives over over a course of years, I think, right? It's definitely not just for this year. But then he comes out and says it's a stupid rule to require the Stars to play 65 games to be eligible for these awards. Well, let me say a few things. He says because the owners want it. The fans want it too. The fans want to see players play, right? So the owners want it, sure. The fans want it. Your union voted this through, okay? Your agent set up a heavy incentive-based deal. Your league gets hammered because guys routinely take off big games. I'm not saying it's because of him, but obviously look back. They had to create a tournament to keep the players interested right. in the middle of the season. Yep. So this is necessary, right, Harry? I'm sorry the principal isn't letting the students sit out a semester, but it's not dumb by any means.
Not at all. I mean, enough of the sliding for all these players. Absolutely, Sal. NBA put their foot down a bit and got to stick to it. And that's the way it is.
But all his people put it through, like his agent, like this is all like, don't sign an incentive based deal like this. If that's what it's going to be.
I mean, look, you know? the only situation where I think it sucks, because I think in general, it's good, right? Cause it's, you know, you alleviate these people missing just individual games a lot. But it sucks. Mm. Like, so say for instance, a team is just absolutely dominant, right? They're like, wow, you know, 50 and 10, right, to start the season. And a guy's putting up insane numbers, by far the best player. And then he gets hurt and he's out for the rest of the year. Yeah. Like something like that, I think, really sucks.
Yeah, nothing's
but other
perfect.
Than that, yeah. your individual yeah. games, if you just keep missing one or two games every couple weeks and you don't make it, you don't make it.
Well, so it is 58 out of the 82 games.
58. Okay. For like assists
or
points.
Statistical minimums.
Okay.
70% of the team's games.
All right. That's not asking a ton. And I don't even think that's what he's complaining about, right? He's complaining about MVP.
It's an all NBA thing that he right. needs to get about a $40 million incentive. So sure.
Right. I know he can be mad.
This is their own fault. These guys were taking games off for no reason.
Yep.
No. You know, Mike Breen was talking about this on the Knick game the other night, that Patrick Ewing with bad knees, all right, who played like he played as hard as he could every night. He's a big man, obviously. Missed 19 games in a stretch of 10 years.
Insane.
Right? 19. And they played a much more physical, brutal style of basketball back then, too.
The guys who had terrible backs, like Bird and Mullen, too, always played.
They played.
Yeah.
They played. You know why?
You got 3 games in 4 days, so you take that third game off.
And you could sit back then. There was no minimum back then either, right?
Those guys love to play basketball, though. Mm-hmm. I can't say. I don't know about the NBA players today. I don't know if they. That's what makes the Knicks good. They got ballers on that team. They got guys
who like to
play basketball, and they play all the time, unless it's a legit injury.
Right.
Well, I was cutting you off. I will say it is weird though, right? With NBA players in general, because I think guys nowadays in high school and everything, college, pros, they play a lot more basketball in general, right? Like when they're not in the NBA season, these guys are playing pickup games in these weird random leagues.
Sure,
like these guys play every day. So it is weird because of that, you know, you're missing other games, but you still play. All the time.
Maybe their contract should extend to pick up basketball games in August or something. I don't know. I don't know what to say. All right, Harry, you're going. Well, you got, what is this? A teaser? Thursday?
Teaser. Let's go teaser in basketball. Let's go one college, one pro. I'm going to take Joel Solomon's Hofstra ride.
Hofstra.
Teaser. Minus Hofstra.
Good Lord.
Down to minus two against Bryant Stony Brook. Both teams are 4-4 in conference. Both teams are 11-10. Hofstra's coming off a terrible loss to Monmouth when they were up 12 at halftime. So they're going to make a comeback here. And they've already beaten Stony Brook this year. And they've beaten Stony Brook. The Seawolves, they've beaten three times in a row. So give me Hofstra minus two with the Lakers and the Celtics game to go over 237. The Lakers defense has disappeared lately. They've given up 132 points or more in four straight games. Meanwhile, they've scored, though, too, in their last six games. They're averaging 130 points a game, and Boston averages over 120 a game for the whole season. I mean, over 237 with the pride minus two.
All right. I think he got better. He said it like four times and it was like Hofstra. It went from Hofstra and then it didn't exactly get to Hofstra, but a little, almost like a variation of that. Harry, where do you think Jimmy Hoffa's body is buried? Do you have any idea? Any thoughts?
All I know is on these NBA picks and whatever picks we're doing for the past 2 weeks, I'm undefeated.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's all I know.
Undefeated. And
it's all you needed to say.
There
Harry.
You go.
It's all you needed to say.
All right,
but you kind of like that, Darren. You kind of like that. Bob,
I
teaser.
Think. Yeah, I think the Hofstra pick's a good pick. I think
I'm big edge in the coaching for Hofstra, right?
You guys are saying it wrong, but I like the pick. All right, Bri, you have a college pick there.
Right? Yes, Speedy Claxton.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nebraska plus 1.5 versus Wisconsin. Like, I really love this bet too, right? So you get Wisconsin coming in ranked sixth against an unranked Nebraska. Wisconsin's won 15-2 in their last seven. So you'd assume this, they'd be maybe a little bit bigger favorite than 1.5. But when you look at it, you understand why. Like, Nebraska's lost four of their last seven. Blown out at Wisconsin, but this Nebraska team, totally different at home. They're 13-1 at home, undefeated at home against the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State, Northwestern, and Purdue in their last three at home. So I really like this one, Sal. This could be a pretty big bet for just a random weekday game, but I like it. Okay. Seems a little fishy, but 1.5 Nebraska, like it a lot.
All right, let's get in on the again, another like double digit favorite killed me. Was on Tuesday night with Tennessee. Is there anything worse with teams like laying 14 points and they can't break like 55? Like, I guess they got to 59. Is there anything worse? Like, where the hell to make a damn shot? I told our friend Brad, I was like, this team stinks. They're going nowhere. He didn't like that. I'm going Oregon. And I'm actually going to this game, Oregon minus 2.5 over USC, Galen Center. Get to see Bronny. I am going. Coincidentally, our producer of Cousin Sal's winning weekend, Jack, is taking his family, and Tate Frazier will be there. So I don't know that we'll ever meet up, but Oregon minus 2.5. That's my pick. They're 14-6. Trojans struggling at 8-12 and 2-7 in the Pac-12. Ducks with a plus 107 scoring differential to USC's minus 5. Thanks to our Jermaine Cousinard there. Averages about 15 a game, but I think he's even better than that if you watch him play. Oregon won this at home by 8 late December, and they're 15-9 at the Gallon Center. 12-8-1 against the spread this year, the Ducks are. And USC has lost by 15 points in each of the past three games. I think Oregon beats them worse than they did even in Eugene. Give me the Ducks minus 2.5. That's my pick. Now, Embiid is sitting out this, I thought I saw surgery somewhere for sure, but did I make that up? He has this left knee injury. He's out for the final game of the Sixers road trip. And it looks like it's going to be more than that. And, you know, he might have to get surgery on it, but either way, he's not going to get this minimum that Tyrese Haliburton was so upset about to make it to win MVP. Now, he was a favorite before today, but now the odds have switched. Jokic is minus 125. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 3-1 odds. Luka, 5-1 odds. Giannis, 7-1. And Tatum, 37-1. We're trying to find the value in here. I'll give it to Simmons. I mean, listen, this is a guy he's probably not going to vote for, but he gave me SGA at 10-1, and now it's all the way down to 3. But Parley Kid, if we're finding value, I think you and I both like Luka. right? At 5-1, averaging 35, 8.5, and 9.5. Pretty great numbers.
Yeah, we talked about this several weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, when Embiid was back on top of that MVP race. And I said, what a sucker's bet. I think that was my exact words to take Embiid with. There's no way he'll make that threshold of games. Sure enough, that looks like it's going to happen. And I had also mentioned, I think Luke at that point was plus 850 for MVP. So I too, like you, Sal, think there's still good value here with Luke, although he's not playing tonight, Sal. you know, so it's like, oh my gosh.
Anyway, yeah.
You know, yeah. But his numbers are astronomical. Very close to, he's still a rebounder and a half away from almost averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
But it's just his numbers as of late have just been, you know, off the charts. 45, 15, and 9 in his last game. And that doesn't, we're not even talking about the 73-point performance from a few games back. But like you said, basically 35, 8.5, 9.5.
Yeah.
When was the last time we saw those numbers? I mean, and I know Dallas isn't lighting the world on fire, but if they can get to the upper 40s in wins, 45 plus wins, where would they be without this guy, Sal?
Yeah.
Where would they be?
So where do they have to go? They have, so Westbrook won as a, well, Jokic won as a 6 seed, right? And so Dallas is currently 7th in the West. They're going to lose tonight. But they're 2 games out of 5th. So I think they have to climb the 5th right around there to get there. And Jokic is a favorite, but there could be some Nikola fatigue, right? Embiid won last year, can't win this year, he's not going to be able to. Then Jokic won the last 2 years, but Jokic won MVP of the finals. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right, Parley Kid. You get a handful of 50s and Dallas climbs closer to the mid-upper echelon in the West, I think there's a chance. Now, if Mark Cuban tanks as a 6 seed, decides doesn't want to make the playoffs, then that, none of that's going to happen. But, Bri, you like... It was Luka your pick as well?
Yeah, I have to go with Luka here. Look, I gave out Jokic before the season. Not that that was a crazy pick or anything. But, you know, I think it's a little too early, right, to take a minus 125, right? The way these swing.
Yeah.
I think at one point somebody's going to make a run. That number's going to change a little bit here. But, yeah, in terms of value, you got to look at Luka. Because look at the last 2 months. Look at December and January. He's averaging 37 points and basically a triple-double. I mean, I know he's closer to a triple-double, but anyway. But 37 and close to a triple-double the last 2 months. But the only thing is, like Parley Kid saying, he's missing tonight's game. So now he's missed 8 games. So he's got to be a little bit careful. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get there, but he's got to be careful. But look, it's all about these storylines, right? Well, one of the best games ever he had over the weekend. Of course, we were in when I was in the Bahamas, we bet decided to bet the Hawks that game. So that was miserable watching Luka hit every shot.
Nice.
But look, he's going to get a few more 40 or 50 point games and then the narrative's going to swing to him a little bit. I think you guys are right though. If they can get to a 4 or 5 seed, which not necessarily sure this team can, I just think the 5-1 sell is still the best value.
Yeah. I like it too. Now, Harry weighs in, and we're going to play everyone's favorite game. Harry gives out an MVP pick that doesn't have a chance in hell of winning. So go ahead, Harry. Lay it on us.
Well, let's just make a case for Jason Tatum for a second here. There's 35 games left in the season. He's 37-1 right now, averaging 27 points a game, 8.5 rebounds. That leads the Celtics in both categories. Still gets 5 assists. They have the best record in the NBA. What happened to giving the MVP to the team that had the best record? They have the best record by 4 or 5 games over Giannis and Lillard. They're always at the top of the Eastern Conference. He's a leader, like I said, on this team. That's without having Marcus Smart this year, not having Malcolm Brogdon anymore. Porzingis did join the Celtics, but he's already missed 14 games this season. Jaylen Brown's gone from 26 points a game down to 22 points a game this season. And Tatum is extremely, which we talked about a little while ago, unlike some of these other players, extremely durable and reliable. He's missed 5 total games in the last 2 seasons. He's missed 3 this season, so 8 over 2.5 seasons. I think at 37-1 with a team that has the best record by, like I said, 4 or 5 games, see what happens.
That is high, Bri. I will say 37-1. That is a little crazy. I think I'll say, I wonder them being so far ahead means they're not going to have big games on down the stretch, which might hurt Tatum, right? But they will get the ABC. They will get those exposed. They will get some games on TV. I just don't know if they'll matter as much.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that hurts them is, look, they're starting five. They have a great starting five. And I know this is why his numbers are down, but, you know, it's not like he was close to really winning it the last year, and his numbers last year were significantly better.
Harry doesn't care about, like, vote, like, things like votes and stuff.
Hey, three or four points more last year.
That Lakers-Celtics game that I gave over, let's just throw this out there. That with all these guys scoring 62 and 73 and whatever, how about Tatum goes for double nickels, 55 against LeBron?
Yeah. Well, calling it right that's now. That's what you need. He would have to have multiple monster games, and he's got to get his average up to 30 points. He's got to get it back to.
I don't mind what Harry's saying, because I do think there should be more value on the best player on the best team in the NBA.
Contract Jaylen Brown got, Darren, and he's down 4 points from last year from his average. Down four. And they're
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's like, look, Jalen Brunson's not going to put up 30 points a game. But damn, he should be in the MVP conversation. The guy, he really should be. He won't be, because I guess you have to average certain statistics. Mm-hmm. But most valuable player, to me, again, doesn't always mean that.
I'm looking at these numbers. Harry, you can cover your ears, because I know you don't care. You could care less about this, but I'm looking at the votes from last year. Embiid obviously won 915 votes. Jokic, 674 votes. Tatum at 280. He was fourth. Giannis had 606. So, and as Bri points out, Tatum was a 30-point scorer. Luka was a 32-point a game scorer, and he didn't get that. He got 10 votes. So
they tanked.
No, he wasn't making it.
It was stupid, because obviously Embiid was not the best player after we saw what happened in the playoffs last year.
I know, Aaron, but it's the same people vote. We have this argument all the time. It's the same people.
So maybe they can't get
up. I know, that's all. But they don't. All right. Listen, when Ken gives you a beating because McCaffrey gets three votes and runs away with offensive player of the year. He did? Okay, good. All right. It's a preemptive beating. All right. Is that it? Everybody give their pick? Yeah, that was it. Truth be told, Harry, I have Giannis and Tatum from the beginning of the year. And I'm probably in no man's land with those guys. So let's take another break and then Shark Tank. Wow, all three winners last week. We'll be right back. See what they have to say for this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, you guys all won your Shark Tank picks last week, right? Parlay Kid plus 650. Who'd you need at the end there? Ayuk?
Yeah, I needed the four out of the five, combination. We knew McCaffrey would be solid.
Kelsey scored in the early game, so you need three out of four.
I scored right away.
Yeah.
And then I needed I needed McCaffrey, Gibbs, Laporta, and
Ayuk, right?
Ayuk. Yeah. And they got the job done. I think Laporta was close on several occasions as well.
Yeah, I almost went five for five.
But
I
only
need
four out of five. Plus 650, it's twice. I went with that twice this year, hit it twice. I wish I could find that every week. I'm not sure if I can find
all
that every
gravy.
Week,
but you'll find it. Yeah, they have it every week. They definitely, because on Sunday morning we're scrambling for those. Mm. But yeah, Harry, you also hit your first Shark Tank win since we looked back April of 1988. So nice work.
about that. Yeah. And I was bragging a little bit early on that as well, saying that I'm going to probably hit this by the end of the first quarter. I hit the two of those. I hit Pacheco and I hit Kelsey in the first half. And then I finally, because I still don't understand how the Ravens for the entire game, first in the league in rushing, had one designed run for Lamar Jackson all game. But he got over that 40 barrier where I needed. He got 54. So he got that early in the fourth.
Did he? I didn't even realize he did. I can't imagine. He had that many yards rushing?
Four.
What a joke team. Let me ask you guys this, because I lost a substantial amount of money and my big choice was on a parlay. Of course, the rest of the parlay hits, but this is what I'm adding to it. And I think I made the right move, except that I didn't make the right move. So if you had a choice, parlay kid, between Ravens plus 7.5 against the Chiefs or Ravens over 10.5 points scored, same odds, what would you take?
Well, you know, I would take the Ravens over 10.5 points, yeah, just for the fact that I had each team to score 2 plus touchdowns last week.
All right.
Right. So if we were covering bed aches, that could have been one of mine, because Flowers,
boom, and, you know, and the interception.
Yeah, I mean,
and the
triple cover was a killer for me. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Brian, isn't that weird that those were the same odds? Because I stayed away from the plus 7.5 because I'm like, well, it could be 27-17. I could lose, right? But they'll at least get.
What was that number anyway, Sal? That was minus what?
Like 950 something. It was terrible. But I needed it. But of course it lost. But anyway, so that's that. I don't even know why I brought it up. Not a lot here because we don't have the slate of NBA or college basketball lines for the weekend. But these guys figured out some picks here. Let's start. Harry, I know there's hockey, there's All-Star Weekend, there's some UFC, and what have you done here?
And you talk about not having football. There's football this weekend. I am going to take the Senior Bowl in not Melbourne, Australia, but Mobile, Alabama is where the game's at.
And well, I'm for your sake, yeah.
American team over the national team, plus 2.5 points now. You probably won't like my reasoning here, guys. Well,
there's no way I'm going to like your reasoning. You don't know what you're talking about.
American team plus 2.5 because I think the line is beyond phony. Now, the national team, their quarterback, first off, they have Roman Wilson from Michigan, wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall from Florida, who had a really good season, and their quarterbacks on the national team, who's only minus 2.5, are Sam Hartman, Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. Those are their quarterbacks. Meanwhile, on the American side, their quarterbacks are Brian's guy for the Heisman, Joe Milton, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane, and a quarterback from South Alabama. But yet the O-line is only 2.5, and the national team has Penix and Nix and Hartman, who put up monster numbers at Wake Forest years back. So I don't understand that line at all, so I'm going the other way. I'm taking the American side. And by the way, the American side at least does have 9 players on the roster that played at Alabama or Georgia. And this game could come down to kicking. It could come down to the very end where they do have the place kicker. Hold on. Will Reichert of Alabama, who was 5 for 5 this year. College kicker, 5 for 5 from 50 plus this year. I'm taking the American side plus 2.5.
I am so confused. All I know is half those guys you mentioned probably aren't playing and you don't know about it or something. Something's up. Something. I guarantee you didn't look at this. All right. Okay. Get me. I never thought I'd say this, but Parlay Kid, get us into hockey and do it quickly, please. What's going on this week?
Yeah. Well, look, doesn't hockey drop the ball this week? Like, shouldn't they have a full slate of games on Sunday? Like, what are they doing with their
Well, they should do their outdoor thing. They should all be outdoor. They should be underwater.
Who is putting this together? Are they just still thinking like just going the opposite? It doesn't make any sense to me. This would have been the perfect weekend to capitalize on that. They could have had the Islander Ranger game this weekend with no football going on, real football going on. Doesn't make sense. But they got their skills, competitions, and their all-star festivities. It's nice. You know how I feel about this stuff. I don't like it. I don't like the all-star games anymore or anything like that. But Mikey Meatballs kind of turned me on to this, and it's Matt Barzal in the skills competition just got added today for fastest skater at plus 250. Barzal does hold the record in this event from 2020, when he last competed in it, I believe. I don't think he's competed in it since. But right now, look, it's like It's like watching like Brian Boitano, you know, play hockey when you watch Barzal. Probably the prettiest hockey skater in the world. He's amazing with his skating ability. I'm sure he's going to have some tough competition there. And we know how these things can come down to hundredths of a second. But Barzal is dynamic. Plus 250, great odds for a guy who has the fastest time ever.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. All right. All right, Bri, you have UFC stuff.
Yeah, UFC, you know, not a lot this week. Last week I had that Zverev Medvedev over 40 and a half games that went to it was like 57 or something. Although I will say, for as easy as that sounded, I mean, there was a chance that Zverev was going to, you know, end that a little bit earlier. I
in straight sets,
I lucked out on a few points there. But yeah, I'm going to take a UFC parlay. I'm going to take Nazardine Imavov, he's in the main event, and I'm going to parlay that with Natalia Silva. That's plus 102. So two pretty sizable favorites here. And Silva's like minus 350, so somebody you'll probably like here, Sal. But Imavov, young up-and-coming middleweight that looks ready to maybe start ascending towards the top of the middleweight division. He is still pretty young here, but he went the distance with Strickland a few fights ago. He was beating up Chris Curtis. I think it was over the summer before that had to be stopped from a clash of heads. He beat up Shabazzian too, about 2 years ago. So he seems to be a guy that's potentially rising to the top. So I like him a lot. And then you have Natalia Silva, who she's one of the few females, I feel like, in terms of she can submit, she can KO people. She's won 10 straight fights. She's only 26 years old too. So I like her to kind of beat an aging Arja. So I like those two at plus 102. And again, two pretty decent favorites here in this UFC card.
All right. So we got Barzal, fastest skater, Imavov, Silva parlay, and Harry's American team, plus 2.5. All right, Harry, I'll go with you. We'll keep the football dream alive for another week. Yeah. No, it's great. It's great logic. It's a great bet. I can't see anything wrong with it. Let's just do it. Let's go. No, Harry's on a streak. You won one.
And look, against Nixon Panics. That's great.
You have two in a row, you said?
No, that's one in a row.
Oh, one in a row. Oh, okay.
And you picked Harry last week too, right?
I did? Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. All right. All right. So listen, I don't know if there's even anyone paying attention to your Shark Tank record, but you do have one win in a row. If there's anyone out there.
There's some paying attention.
Oh, you think so? Okay. Let's take a quick break and we'll wrap things up on Against All Odds.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
All right, we're back. Mikey Meatballs is back. I don't know what happened there. Sometimes he likes to just work out in the middle of the podcast. I think that's what he did. He just did some deadlifts. Michael, what did you want to add to the hockey? You wanted
Austin Matthews just to win the skills competition at plus 850 was what I was going to add.
Wow, he's the face of the NHL now. Look at this. How quickly that changed. How much am I going to lose on McDavid Hart Trophy? I'm done with that, right?
Yeah, looks like it.
Just real quick. Oh, crap. Yeah. Yeah, McKinnon minus 135, Kucherov 3-1, and McDavid plus 430. Wow. And Matthews 13-1. Look at that. Unbelievable.
Which is weird because Edmonton's having
an unbelievable run.
An unbelievable run.
Right.
And, you know, do you think McDavid
would be,
I mean, 15, what, 15 or 16 in a row? It's been incredible.
Yeah. All right.
Well, incredible.
There's that. Our first touchdown bet, we'll go over this, but I took the lead. I took it from you, Parlay Kid, with Kelsey scoring, right?
Son of a gun.
But I have $10 left. I strategically, I put a lot on McCaffrey to score the first touchdown. He did not. Yep. And so I have $10 left. So that was my plan all along to just have the lead going into the last week. But you guys have like 60 fake dollars left to bet on first touchdown picks, right?
Well, Joel's going to put about 120, Joel's whatever he has left on McCaffrey or something like that.
I don't get, I guess he won last year, so I don't know. I can't question it too much.
How much does Joel have left?
I don't know. He always has a lot left.
I think he has 80. Sure. I still think he has the most left, so.
Wow.
That's it.
I have a good amount too. So
just got to pick the winner. It's hard. A lot of pressure. Wouldn't want to be you, Paula Kid. A lot of pressure.
What's your number? How much you have?
230. Is that right, Michael? I think so. I don't know. We have this. Yeah. Does that sound right? Yeah. 150.
Yeah. You have 230. 80.
Right. Yep.
What do I have?
Harry has.
Forget it, Harry.
110.
Nah, forget it. You can't do it.
Down 120. Can't do it.
You need a 6-1 or better to put 20 on, or you need, you're not going to be able to catch me. I'm sorry. fun night the other night. I went to Greatest Night in Pop. It's about it's a documentary about We Are the World and just the craziness that got together. I went to the screening at the Egyptian Theater. Huey Lewis was there, Lionel Richie, Sheila E. There were a bunch, but go see that on Netflix. Excellent. Right up our alley, Parlay Kid. They never, ever would have been able to pull that off today. Now with the glam squads and everybody, publicists, they really just took all the performers and brought them in. It's a lot of fun.
Singers taking off.
What's that?
Singers taking off.
Sinners? Your tennis player?
What are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
What he's saying. Singers taking off.
Because like Bruce.
About the NBA.
Was Bruce there? Was Bruce there?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Bruce was there. And I got to say, much like the... Once Upon a Time in Queens documentary about the 86 Mets, every 5 minutes, I'm like, oh no, this one's the MVP. This one's the MVP. Like Keith Hernandez is a leader. No, Ray Knight is a leader. I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, Lionel Richie got it for him. I'm like, oh no, it's gotta be Quincy Jones is him. And then Bruce comes on. Harry, your guy, Bruce, just did the Born in the USA tour. Last night was in Buffalo. Storm, 16 inches, still got out of there to go to the AMAs. He wasn't nominated for the AMA. He wasn't actually going to go to the AMAs if not for this. Everyone else was at the AMA, so just had to go over. But he knocked that out of the park. I think you should follow him for another 16 years is all I'm saying. I think you made the right choice.
Yesterday on Chris Mad Dog Russo, Stephen Van Zandt was on talking all about the tour, and they're ready to go.
Oh, really? Okay. There you go. They shouldn't be. They should ask Ken if they're ready to go. But Ken, are we ready? Not sure. How many points do you have for business class seats? All right, we're ready. Cousin Sal's winning weekend. You guys are going to be on. Michael Irvin's going to be on. I talked to him. Paulie Kid, the playmaker, let me tell you something. That guy, he lives and dies with these cows. He cares more about this team than I think anyone, any former player. I think probably a lot of current players, to be honest with you. He really cares about this team.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting to see what happens to players, right? Because I think a lot of these guys retire and they might root for their team, but he's still so passionate about the organization. Yeah. And you got to love it, right?
Yeah.
When they did that, when Jimmy Johnson was inducted into the Ring of Honor there for the Cowboys and you saw those guys and oh man, they're just so passionate about the Cowboys, but nobody more passionate than the great Michael Irvin.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in to see the interview. First of all, he has some fixes. I'm like, what are some fixes for the Cowboys? It's an interesting thing what he says. But the thing I'll tell you about that he said, he is on, I always wonder, like CeeDee Lamb, does it bother you? CeeDee broke his regular season reception record this year. Does it bother you? Another 88 is doing this. When Dez Bryant wore 88, he is on a text chain with the other 88s, with Drew Pearson, Dez, and CD. How fucking cool is that?
That's cool. That's real cool.
Imagine that.
That is awesome.
Real cool. Well, I will say, look, I mean, again, there's not really a more passionate guy than Michael Irvin in all of sports. But you can be that way and root for your team like the Cowboys when you've won that many championships, right? I could see like if a guy, like, you know, I'd be curious if Tony or some of those guys who, you know, they had chances of winning and they never did. And it's like, you don't necessarily want the group that comes in after you to win.
Yeah, it's all, you know, all
it's weird. But when you win, it's a little different. When you
right,
win, you can,
right, right. Well,
that's pretty awesome, Sal. 88 chain.
Isn't that something? That's, and you know, I told him,
that's
like,
great.
You know, I wore 23 in high school and I never got Michael Jordan. I couldn't get LeBron. there's no text chain for me with those guys.
It's yeah, I mean, that. Some guys are on text chains with number 88s. I'm on text chains with Lil A. I mean, pick your poison.
That's true. It's the same thing in the end. All right, guys, that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs and the D3, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York. FanDuel and Rob Gronkowski are back with Kick of Destiny 2 as Rob looks to redeem himself after missing last year. He will be kicking it live right before the real kickoff, and fans will be able to pick whether he will make or miss in the FanDuel Sportsbook app for their chance at a share of $10 million in bonus bets if you pick correctly. I think Gronk will make the kick this year. He's not the kind of guy who enjoys embarrassing himself, certainly not 2 years in a row, and I love the idea of athletes trying different things. I wouldn't mind seeing Zion Williamson ride a horse to victory in the Kentucky Derby this year. You never know. We do know that FanDuel Sportsbook has everything to suit a sports bettor's needs. So head to the FanDuel Sportsbook app to make your pick now and watch the kick before kickoff live on Super Bowl Sunday. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit theringer.com/RG to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th. And in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.